This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Cray and Intel. The new Cray XE30 supercomputer, powered by Intel Xeon processors, delivers scalable performance for the most demanding computing challenges. For more information, visit www.cray.com/ownXE30.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry.
The furlough effect.
U.S. shuts down science.
Hello and welcome to HPC Wire Soundbite for October 4th, 2013, available Fridays on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Addison Snell with Intersect 360 Research, and filling in again for Nicole Hemsoth is my co-analyst, Michael Feldman. Michael, welcome back.
Thanks, Addison.
Michael, you and I are not furloughed, but that's not the same for all of our friends here in the U.S. since October 1st with the U.S. federal government shutdown.
Yeah, basically bad news for a lot of people that we know. I mean, basically if you're a government scientist or associated with science at the federal level, you are sort of out of a job for a while.
Yeah, you're worse than out of luck. You're out of work. This is hitting us right here in our backyard in all kinds of ways, but across the country. And, you know, all the news comes around, well, you got visitors getting kicked out of Yosemite or tourists in San Francisco can't go into the Golden Gate Park or across to Alcatraz. But right here in Mountain View, we've got NASA Ames Research Labs, which is the home to a pretty major supercomputer center, and Ames is pretty much furloughed. They're off the clock.
Yeah, one of the agencies, I think that agency, NASA, is probably the worst hit of all of them. I think it's like 90% or 97% of the people that work there are furloughed. The other agencies, you know, go down from there. Some of them, like the DOE, which of course we're very interested in, is about 50% at 50% level now, and the rest of them are furloughed. But yeah, NASA is basically shut down.
Right. Now, of course, the big thing we want to look at is what's the current state of HPC in the United States. U.S. federal government total is about 10%, maybe 10, 11% of HPC spending worldwide. This is a potentially huge effect on the market. Now, there are a few major pockets of spending. There's the DOE, there's the DOE, there's NIH money, there's obviously agencies like NASA and NOAA, and these haven't all been hit exactly equally. Not yet, anyway.
Not yet, but yeah, but basically this is all discretionary spending, and the way the shutdown has gone is that unless it's critical for health or property, they've furloughed you, or they've shut down the group or the organization. So I mean, basically everybody we deal with is discretionary, not because people, for instance, at the DOE, the NNSA, that has to do with weapons safety and such, they're probably, there's a good number of them still working, but most of them are not in that category.
Right. Now, we talked to a few people who we know in the federal government or associated areas with respect to HPC, and as it was described to me, basically there's three groups that you could fall into. One is that you're exempt from the shutdown because you're operating on prior year funds that haven't been spent yet. If you have leftover fiscal year 13 funds that you can still operate on, then that exempts you from the federal government shutdown. The second category is you could be an exception, and that's if your job is considered necessary for health or public safety issues. There's a lot of supporting the warfighter. You know, you still need to buy guns and deliver them to the soldiers. That still goes on. And then the third category is you're neither of those, and therefore you're furloughed, which is to say, you can stay home and have a nice day. Now, the DSRCs, the High Performance Computing Modernization Office and the Distributed Shared Resource Centers, the military centers, all seem to be open right now and under the category of being exempt because they're operating on fiscal year 13 funds that are, at least for now, still left over, although there's no indication from them on how long that'll last. There are a few areas that might be an exception, like, for example, if there were suddenly a hurricane, we're going to make landfall, then you might bring NOAA back in to run some models. But for the time being, organizations like NOAA, NIH, or the National Cancer Institute, which is under NIH, or NASA, these people are all furloughed, and their computing centers with them.
Right, and we know, but we know some of the centers are still up and running, just because probably, like you said, the spending for, or the money for 2013 is still there. Like, for instance, NERSC at Berkeley Lab, we see that the computers there look like they're still running as well, and they're probably, again, using money that's in hand. But, yeah, like you said, we don't know how much money is there and how long that's going to go on, and we don't know how long this this shutdown's going to go on. I mean,
right.
There's a lot of talk about, you know, pulling these people together and getting something. Usually, in the past, they've only gone on for a couple weeks at most, but it's a different political situation there. Really, nobody knows.
Well, yeah, it's essentially a big game of federal chicken with you know, the taxpayers' money and what the government is going to resolve. So, at least temporarily, it seems like the DoD HPC Modernization Program offices are temporarily operating, and most of the DOE computing centers, at least at the large national scale, are temporarily operating, but we don't know for how long, and there's certainly going to be no public statement with regards to that. And if you and I did, as analysts, know, then we certainly wouldn't be able to say so on a podcast.
Right. And presumably the people using those centers, at least the DOE, are probably non-federal workers. In other words, that those computers get allocated to, you know, university scientists and other scientists that aren't associated at the federal level. So there's still actually applications running. But you know, if it goes on longer, those will start to fall away too. I mean, federal R&D reaches out to a lot of different people. It's all discretionary spending, and it accounts for like 11 or 12% of discretionary spending in the U.S. So once you cut that off and that money runs out, you're hitting a big part of discretionary spending in general. And of course, it's all the R&D. It's you know, millions and millions of dollars that don't get spent now.
Well, this is bad news for science. I mean, the long, you know, okay, if you lose 2 days out of cancer research and you delay the cure for cancer for 2 days, you know, I guess it's going to be a tragedy for somebody, but at a global scale, maybe you don't notice it so much. But the longer this goes on, that's a lot of research getting interrupted, not funded. You're disrupting the lives of scientists. Let's say you're a doctor who's on an NIH grant doing research. How long are you going to go before you drop that and try to go get a different job doing something else? The interruption to research is pretty significant.
Right. It stops all those pipelines. And, yeah, like you said, you start to think about looking for another sponsor and somebody with a little more consistency. But, again, hopefully this won't go on for more than a few weeks. Of course, we've got, you know, the debt ceiling deadline coming up in a couple weeks.
Right.
And that's supposedly now they're talking about it all getting resolved at once with the shutdown and the debt ceiling. But again, this is anybody's guess on what's really going to happen now. The situation is very uncertain.
Well, let's take a quick break, and then what we'll do is we kind of laid out the current state of things. We'll take a break and we'll talk about what could happen in the future.
Need scalability across the performance spectrum? The Cray XC30 supercomputer family delivers on Cray's commitment to an adaptive supercomputing architecture that provides both extreme scalability and sustained performance. Leveraging a robust processor roadmap, high-performance interconnect, and flexible network topology, users can configure the exact machine to meet their specific requirements today and also remain confident that they can upgrade and enhance their system to address the most challenging multi-petaflop application demands of the future. To learn more about Intel Xeon processor-enabled Cray supercomputers, visit www.cray.com/ownXC30.
All right, Michael, we've been talking about the bleak, potentially bleak situation of HPC in the federal government, but there's a lot of both near-term and long-term effects on the industry that we should consider.
Yeah, definitely. Like we were talking about before, there's a pipeline effect going on here, and if it goes on too long, the pipes get broken.
Right. There's a purchase order or an RFP that's been expected from the DOD, the High Performance Computing Modernization Program, called HITS, the HPCMP Integrated Technical Services Requirement. And I know you've got all of the federal systems integrators lining up to do their DSRC pursuit to respond to this. This touches all of the DSRCs, the Distributed Shared Resource Centers. So this is sites like ERDC and Air Force Research Labs and Army Research Labs. These all fall underneath this procurement. This was an RFP that was expected out by the end of September, but it comes down through GSA, and, you know, these people aren't in the office now. Who knows how long this RFP takes, and and whether you just take a miss on it.
Right, exactly. And even some that have been allocated, like there was a NSF award for a $12 million supercomputer at the San Diego Supercomputer Center. Ironically, that was announced 2 days after the shutdown went into effect, but it was already awarded. But the problem is that's a grant. It's $12 million. If something happens in the interim, that's now in the pipeline, but it's not going anywhere now. Again, presumably that money will be allocated once they do this. But the other thing to think about here is there might be some sort of a deal that has to go on to resolve this, to resolve the shutdown, to resolve the debt ceiling problem, and maybe some of this money will get pulled back. Maybe they'll have to cut discretionary spending by X amount, and even the money that's been allocated might have to be yanked.
Sure, even with a resolution, you could see a significant hit to scientific research, STEM programs nationwide, and that will transcend the federal government into particularly the academic space, where you get a lot of science research grants that get funded, that get NSF funding, that get NIH funding. You could see a major impact through the academic community.
Yeah, and federal R&D has been picked on. I mean, you know, we're sort of forgetting that, there was the sequester that I think we talked about when that went into effect a few months ago. That's still in effect, so there's already a cutback from what it would have been at the beginning of this year, because that automatic sequester cut a lot of the federal R&D funding to begin with, and yeah.
And even before the sequester, a lot of funding has just been on continuing resolutions, not proper budgets. So you get 4 years of continuing resolutions, you get a sequester, you get a federal government shutdown on top of that. Things are not looking great right now.
No.
And then there's the extremely near-term effect on the supercomputing trade show, which is next month. I mean, this is supposed to be a really big deal, and right now I don't know who in the federal government can be planning to travel to it.
Right. Basically, you know, you've got federal government scientists and then the public relations people from the federal government. I mean, that's a good chunk of people that go to SC, and yeah, you figure if those people are going to be furloughed or maybe cut back, they might not show up. Not to mention that still the booth issues that we talked about from last year, that's not really resolved as well.
Right, and then that has an echo effect on the vendor side, where you get the major vendors who are saying, well, geez, if all these customers aren't going to be there, what's the point of us going? So you have that echo effect. Now, I would always advise you show up, you support supercomputing. This is a community event, and it's important for the people who are there that we continue to show our support. But that's not going to be a uniformly held position, and I think you'll see some scale back on the vendor side as well.
Yeah, I think that's right. I'm guessing those people are a little bit nervous about the show yet. It's only 6 weeks away, and
right. Like
I said, this is all up in the air.
Even for the vendors who are still there, what you could see is their salespeople who are part of their U.S. federal teams. Well, maybe it doesn't make sense for them to go, even if we've got a booth, even if we've got meeting space. My target customers aren't going to be there. I'm better off going and finding them wherever they're on vacation.
Right, at home.
At home, yeah. Go see if they'd like to play golf or have lunch. They'd probably be happy to have you buy them a meal.
Yeah, at this point.
And then, you know, let's not forget there's a potential serious long-term effect, not just on our industry, but the worldwide economy in general. We've got people in the news talking seriously about the non-zero possibility of the United States defaulting on its federal debt. Now, we've got precedent for federal government shutdown in this country, but no precedent at all for default on debt. That hasn't happened.
Right. That's very ominous. I mean, you're right. That hasn't happened, and people are predicting all sorts of things, including a repeat of the recession we saw in 2008 or worse. So that's very scary, and of course that affects not just HPC, but every industry there is, and at a global scale, because basically the dollar is the reserve currency of the world, and once you start to tamper with that and lose the value of the dollar and lose the credit of the U.S. government, things will go haywire very quickly.
Well, that was a fun conversation, Michael. I appreciate it. This is, we got to get this going here, get the logjam unstuck. We got a lot of ticked off Americans, me included.
Yeah, it's a very depressing time, but hopefully by next Friday or the Friday after that, we'll have better news to report and things will be back to normal. But it's a little bit of a scary time.
Thanks for joining me as always, Michael.
Thank you, Addison.
Talk to you again soon.
All right.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Cray and Intel, the new Cray XC30 supercomputer, powered by Intel Xeon processors, delivers scalable performance for the most demanding computing challenges. For more information, visit www.cray.com/ownXC30.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite. Got a question or comment? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.